I'm to do what God has put in my heart to do. That's making Jesus Christ Lord. And I believe God raised him from the dead. So now I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Now the scriptures say that now we are heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So Lila, she has three beautiful daughters, a son as well? No, just three daughters. So what she leaves behind, her inheritance to her children, because they're heirs to their mum, they will receive everything that Lila has, right? And so now we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a great inheritance, it says in Ephesians. We have a godly inheritance. And we've been empowered to live above this carnal world. So there's two types of knowledge we can live by, or two types of wisdom. There's the world's wisdom, what we've learned from the time we were born. But now there's the other wisdom from God from the time we're born again. And every one of us is very precious. In fact, God's desire is that all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what Jesus Christ laid down his life for God so loved the world, like him says. And God doesn't wish any to perish. Some will, because some ain't going to believe. Our job as believers is to put God first individually, that we seek him with all our heart. Our next job is not only to love our neighbor, but our job, if we're going to love God, we're going to do what God puts in our hearts to do above our sense knowledge of what we think we should do. And when we're obedient to God, then God can really go to work. He can really bring the answers. He can really bring the solutions. He can really bring the deliverance to whatever is going on in your life, the solutions to the problems. But God wants to be first. Like Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. No, the kingdom of God is living righteously, like a righteous king, like Jesus lived. He's our greatest example to follow. In fact, Jesus said, if you believe on me, the works that I do, you can do the same works and greater because I go to my Father. And God had this great plan of each of us being filled with his Spirit so that we can live and move and have our being in him. In fact, yes, we have the scriptures which are fantastic, which I read, which I go to, which I personally study. But what I want to bring to people is not my knowledge. I want to bring to people my God. My God who's got the answers. My God that's got the solutions. And that doesn't mean to say I don't read my Bible, because I allow God to speak to me. In fact, if you look at the life of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you and laid down his life for me, that's how he lived and moved. He knew the scriptures. He was the living word. But that's it. We are now living epistles, known and should be known and read of all men. It's not about reading this to everyone, is about our lives being that Bible, our lives being that living word, like Jesus Christ was the living word. And now we got the Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says we are sons of God. Wow! In fact, you know, not only are you sons of God, but you are as he is.
Or daughters.
Right, Jesus Christ, it says you are as he is. As he is, as Jesus is, not as he was, but as he is now, at the right-hand side of God, that's who you are. You are as he is now. Our carnal mind will tell us, well, no, it's not. I got this problem, I got that bad habit there, I can't seem to break this thing in my life here. But that's your carnal mind. The spiritual side is, no, I am as he is. When we focus our minds to who we are, and what God has accomplished through Christ, and this is who we truly are, and we endeavor to practice who we are, then it starts to become living reality. All those problems, all those worries, all those fears, all those doubts will start to melt out of your life. In fact, Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a continuous renewing. Because we're not perfect yet, not until we're gathered together, right? So be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the life of your mind, it also says in Ephesians. So we're not to be conformed to this world. So what the world is educating us with, what we've been educated from since we was born, school, friends, family, other people's ideas and philosophies. We're not to be conformed to that. We don't hold to that, but we hold to the truths of who we are. And as we begin to walk in them, then we start to be enlightened by God. He can start to give you the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It comes not through your study, it comes through your walk. It comes through the practice of the truth that you are learning. Now, it's great that I've been enriched because I took a wonderful class many years ago, and there was many wonderful, great truths in there, but not everything was right, because not everybody's got everything right. But God is able to bring whatever you've learned into right perspective. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, many above his equal. He knew that law inside and out, and he was the top boy, right? And he persecuted the believers because he was going by the education and the understanding of what he knew as a Pharisee, learning as a Pharisee. But then he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and on the road to Damascus, again to persecute Christians, he got born again, he got challenged, he got born again. And the whole perspective changed. When he started to minister for God, he didn't go with the law. He knew the law, he can quote it inside out. He only used that part when he went into the synagogue where the Jews were. He had a great desire for the Jews. But when we look at the book of Galatia, the Galatians, Thessalonians, these were Gentiles, and there were some Jews in those regions. But how did Paul communicate it to them? He communicated by revelation, by inspiration. He spoke those heavenly truths that God was revealing to his heart. No one can refute me on this. Just read the book of Galatians. Just see how Paul lived and moved and had his being. When he went into the synagogues, he showed them. He knew what they believed. He knew their belief system. And then he was trying to appeal to their heart about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because don't forget, Jews even today don't believe Jesus was Messiah. Right? So he suffered a lot of persecution, knockback, because he was challenging their belief system. Not to put them down, but to bring them to truth. And so God has empowered us. From the day of Pentecost, they received Holy Spirit. They all began to speak with tongues. Before that, they were all behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Peter, they seen what happened to Jesus Christ. They felt, you imagine seeing that, you would be scared. You would be frightened that you didn't want to be in that place. They hid themselves. But with God's grace and the appearing of Jesus Christ, then they were encouraged. They went to Jerusalem. Jesus instructed them, wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to receive this power from on high. And you're going to use this power. That power is the gift of Holy Spirit when they become born again, when they've received the Spirit of God within them. And you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, he was saying the way you're going to move is by that Spirit. You're going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Who moved in the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus did. When the Old Testament believers moved, they were moved when they was to do a job for God by the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. Yeah. Now it's within. And he spoke and he declared, you know, like he was very bold, Peter, because everyone was saying they were drunk. But this guy that was afraid and behind closed doors for fear of the Jews stood up with great boldness. These men are not drunk. And then God just brought the scriptures to his mind, the book of Joel. These men are not drunk. This is what was prophesied, Joel. That in the last days your young man should dream dreams, your old man should have visions and all these type of things, right? And then coming to the conclusion of that record there, it says, then they, these 3,000 souls that were received his word, it says, and they that gladly received his words. Whose words? God's words through Peter's mouth. God was inspiring him. He gave him this boldness. He gave them account of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they had done. They crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't to condemn them, but it was to bring them to a realization that they had the Messiah and they were crucified, right? He was crucified. And it says, and they that gladly received his words continued steadfastly. And it says, in the apostles' doctrine, not the law, not the Old Testament, but the witness and account of their lives when they walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, all the prophecy is fulfilled, and what God was going to do from now. And it says they continue steadfastly. This word continue steadfastly means persevered. What are they persevering? The words that were being spoken by the Spirit through Peter's mouth. They continue steadfastly in that. And let's go and read it, just so that we can have a little bit of clarity here, right? Acts chapter 2, and I'll read it from verse 41, just so we can see the heart of this, right? I would encourage you, in your personal time, read the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter, but we're going to focus here, and it says, verse 40 we start from, and it says, and with many other words. So what was written here, he encouraged, and then it says, and with many other words. Where were these words coming from? They were coming from the Spirit of God in Peter, right? And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This, you know, this generation where you've been educated their way and come God's way. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Unto the apostles, unto the disciples that were there, there was 3,000 people added. Well, look how many people were in here. It's quite a lot, isn't it? But 3,000. And it says, and they, those 3,000, verse 42, continue steadfastly. They persevered. It also means constantly diligent. So this continues steadfastly. If you look up the word, you can look up, if you like doing your word study, look at those words. It means persevered. They persevered in this doctrine they were receiving. And they were constantly diligent to follow the instruction and the words that came through the apostles. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It wasn't the local Pentecostals' doctrine. It wasn't the Baptists, the Methodists, the Muslims, or the Jehovah Witness, or the Pharisees. It was the apostles' doctrines. Those words that come from God through their mouth. And fellowship. That word fellowship is koinonia, means they fully shared with everything. They served one another in love. That's what we're supposed to do, not criticize, condemn and complain and be divided. Nothing grows in that environment. Lila's a gardener. She knows the type of ground that these seeds are going to grow and develop and be the best, well-rooted, and where they're going to blossom and bloom. She's an expert at her job. She knows what goes where. God knows what goes where. And they continue steadfast in apostle doctrine and in fellowship, fully sharing, and in breaking of bread. What have we done today? We broke bread. We broke bread together. We've had food. This is precious with God. He loves this when we're together. When my kids are arguing, I don't like it. But when my kids are happy, I'm so proud. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. How much is more is God? I've heard a lot tonight through different speaking of interview, but the prayers. The prayers are so important. You don't receive if you don't ask. God says, ask, knock, seek, ask. You've got to keep asking. That's keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. You keep going till you get your answer. You keep going. You put on God's trousers, so to say. He doesn't want you to make him embarrassed. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf, that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Jesus said, if you ask my Father in my name, he will do it for you. When we're going to God and we want to live our lives unto him, whatever you ask God in the name of Jesus Christ, he's going to do it for you. So why do you doubt when you pray? Well, maybe God might not do that for me. But there's a great thing that Lyda was sharing with me. There's timing. There's timing involved. We want it right now. Everyone today wants everything right now. But how will you ever grow patience? How will you ever go to trust and have confidence? See, the more you wait and the more you trust, the more confidence you have the next time when something else come up, it'll give you longevity, it'll give you endurance, because you know, maybe I'm not going to get my prayer answered right away, but I know God is faithful. I know my God will never let me down. I know my God is my sufficiency. Okay, I'm staying thankful right now for what I got. Father, I give you thanks for what I got in my life right now. I know I have these other needs, but I know that you said you'll supply all my need. Keeping an attitude of thankfulness and an attitude of gratitude. And I had to learn that myself, because I was one of these that wanted it right now, if you know what I mean. But you grow in faith. You grow in faith when you do that. And it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear or respect came upon every soul, every person. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, because of the hearts were ready to see the power of God at work, because God had prepared their hearts through this wonderful words and their wonderful fellowship. There was no bitching or division or complaining, he's got it right, she's got it right. None of that was there. And God was able to freely energize, and then people were able to receive. When we start becoming divided, you'll find your needs won't get so much met. You'll find you start struggling, and then you're going through a tough time. Because God is not into division. God wants us to have unity. He wants us to have purpose. Not everyone's got everything right, but you know what? God's got everything right. And if we just stay with God, He'll bring us into that rightness. He'll bring us into that righteous path. God is the one that's ordered your steps. He makes your feet like hinds feet and sets you upon your high places. He'll work in you so you don't fall. And if you do fall, He'll pick you up. If you fall again, He'll still pick you up. If you fall again, He'll still pick you up. No one can take you out of the Father's hand. So, you know, I've seen so much division over the world through my years as a believer. And it doesn't build anyone's faith at all. In fact, it brings disglory to God, because nothing starts moving. Because you've got to have unity, you've got to have purpose, you've got to have the sound doctrine for things to move. And then you've got to persevere, practicing the things that are being encouraged. And it will come through the ministers. It will come through the ministers. Because they're giving direction to the church by God. And it says in Ephesians 4:11 that He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the mending. That word perfecting is the mending of the saints. To edify the body of Christ. So that everyone's walking like Christ. Everyone is healed. Everyone is prospering. Everyone is in that position to manifest the blessings, because God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He's already spoken in your life, and when you align up with it, those blessings will start to manifest in your life. That's how you manifest the blessings of God. It's very, very simple. It's very powerful. This is not complicated. You don't need years of study. You've got the Holy Spirit. That's the qualifier. Your studying doesn't qualify, but there's nothing wrong with studying. Your research doesn't qualify you, but there's nothing wrong with researching. There's a balance to these things, and God will give you that balance. In fact, if you're walking by the Spirit, you'll be doing everything right with God, righteously with God. You know, when someone needs an explanation and expanding on the Scriptures, you'll be able to do it. If someone needs that word directed to their heart, then God's able to do it through your mouth, because you're a vessel unto honor. There's no agenda from you. If I want people to like me, I can start making myself look all glamorous, study, get all myself, look, I'm the man. You know, I've done this. I've been 38 years doing all these things. I've got all these PhDs and master's degrees, which are great, like for the world. But God is the one that's qualified you. He's given you that Spirit. He causes you to understand. So we don't have to be so smart, because God is so smart. And He'll give you in your hour what you need. And it says, and verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, many wonders and signs done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Everyone that believed were together. When we're not believing, there's division. Someone's not believing something somewhere. Oh, we're not together now. What happened? I thought we were friends for 15 years. I thought we was friends for 20. I know people for 10, 15 years, been moving with them, all of a sudden, because they didn't agree with something or I didn't agree with them, they move me away. But God always makes me come to the top. Cream always comes to the top. Especially when your heart's pure and you haven't done nothing wrong. Yeah. You know, God will always vindicate you, because He knows your heart. He's the searcher of all hearts, and He loves you. And no one's better than anyone else in this room. It's about your desire and what you want to do with God. How far do you want to go with God? How willing are you to put Him first in all the areas of your life at the expense of losing family? Because they don't agree. They think you've gone mad, like my brothers and sisters. None of them talk to me at all. You know, if they do, it's like, hi, how are you? But they think they're going to be preached at, you know. But it doesn't matter. I love them. And they're just not seeing it. But God, they all got born again, by the way, for our lives. They all had their life change around. But they wanted to stay with the carnal mind. So you've got a carnal mind. And you've got a spiritual mind. The carnal mind, we're to reckon dead. So some days we make decisions with our carnal mind or through our knowledge of what we think God says. But when you go to the living God, the one true living God, the creator of the heavens and the universe, what do you want me to do today, God? I know. I also know what to do. But do you want me to do this? What's my direction? We can plan for things. But what's my direction? God may want you to do something different, but you've made arrangements with someone. Are you willing to break all those arrangements to do what God shows you to do? I am. I am. If I was coming here, right? If God says don't go, I wouldn't have come. Promise you. I promise you. In fact, I was going to Africa. I had all my flights paid for everything. And God told me not to go, and I didn't go. I didn't go. I will do what God tells me to do against the grain, against the favoritism of everybody else. That's what God wants. When you're willing to do that, and God will bring you to that point, then your life will change drastically, and then he'll be able to work in you to bring him glory and God's people deliverance. Because it's not about us. It's about God. It's about reaching out. It's about speaking the gospel of Christ, the good news. The good news which builds faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words from God. It comes by hearing the energized words from God. It comes by the scriptures also, because that's the living word too. But we are the living epistles. And you can open your mouth anywhere and you can speak. If someone asks you about God and you haven't got your Bible, what are you going to do? Oh, sorry, I ain't got my Bible. Come back next week. You just missed your opportunity for a lifetime, maybe. You just begin and God will fill in the empty spaces. Because God's with you. He loves you. And there's no condemnation to anyone here. Anyway, let's carry on with this. And they all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good and parted them to all as every man had need. So the plurality of the things that they might have had six houses and sold five of them laid at the apostles' feet. Why? Because they needed money. You need money, right? We all need money to live in this world. You all need money. Like the believers' money paid for us to come here. Money to put on this food. Money for petrol to get here. Money for clothes on your back. Oh, well, the love of money is the root of all evil, Lawrence. Yeah, the love of money is before God. But money is good, and God designed it to serve us. What we've done and what I've done in the past, money used to be my master. He used to rule my life. So who was Lord in my life then? Money. Because I never had it, so I'm always going after it. Focus wrong direction. But money is a servant. If you learn to steward your money, put it to work for you. So basically what you're doing, if you're the master of money, you're telling your money what you want to do for it. You're going to put it in the best place. When you've got that thinking on, you're going to start putting your money in the right places. You're going to start thinking, I don't really need that. It's nice, it's luxurious, but I actually don't need that right now. But this will serve me over here. Then God starts to bless it. And then when you start to honor God with your substance, then you're going to prosper. God wants you to be in a position to bless, not just with your words, but also with your substance. And the Bible has much to say about money. People avoid it. I don't avoid it. I speak with it head on because it's what God wants you to understand. It's a part of this abundant life. The abundant life isn't money. The abundant life is living and being led by the Spirit of God in a wonderful relationship with him and helping others to see this truth so that they can truly be free and that they can live and move and have their being in God. How can you live and move and have your being in God if you are bound in certain areas? And what does God want us to do? He wants us to prosper and he wants us to be in health even as our soul prospers. All right, and your soul can only prosper through the right sound doctrine. And as you practice that, then you can be abundant. Then you can help other people in those areas to come out of where they are. It's like Dr. Well, I remember once talked about, he preached this sermon about the drunk man. And he was telling him all the dangers of drinking. And the guy come up at the end, he said, I could have told you all that. You didn't need to tell me. You didn't tell me how to get out of it. So we're to bring God's answers and solutions to people. Dr. Well repented of that. It was a great testimony that he gave in that class that we took many years ago. I don't know why that came up to my mind, but it was a great testimony. So we want to bring other people God's answers and solutions so that they can go to God. They can walk in the power of God. They don't have to be you dependent or me dependent. And like the people that come to me, they connect to me. I'm not their God. I'm a brother in Christ, but with my ministry, to minister effectively for God in the function that he's called me to function in. Yeah. I'm not the boss of anyone's life. People come to me, they will speak with me, and I'm sitting there, God, you've got to give me the answers for this one. There's so many complex questions and maybe difficult situations in someone's life, and I don't know the answers. And they're talking to me. I'm literally on the phone. And as they're talking, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm like, God, you need to, I don't know what to say. And as soon as they finish, bang, the first word comes. And I've ministered perfectly. And I'm like, wow, God, that blew me away. I've learned something. And I learn. I learn from the words God gives me. And these one-on-ones connection, I would really highly encourage all you leaders here, because it takes leaders. Mm-hmm. Even though we can all do the same works of Jesus Christ, one-on-ones for me is the meat and potatoes above the fellowship. Because it's personal, you can get into the nitty-gritty and help someone tenderly, lovingly, not judgingly. You know, they can open up their hearts. Not everybody else is going to hear their business. Yeah. I'm telling you, these one-on-ones are very powerful. And then on, because when you come together like in a fellowship now, you're not going to spill all your beans out to everyone, are you? Right? Because everyone's listening. Well, I don't want her to know this, and I don't want him to know that. But in the one-on-ones, you know that you've got a confidence in someone that loves God and is going to keep confidence like a doctor would. You know, patient confidentiality. And that they're going to give you the best that they know as they believe God to give you that answer. And as they also know from the scriptures that they can show you. I use the Bible a lot when I'm talking with people on one-on-ones, when they're really coming for answers. And God shows me, he takes me to them. And so I do that at the direction of God. I'm not doing it at the direction of, well, I should now go to Ephesians and tell him this. It's at the direction of God. So I would encourage you leaders, encourage the one-on-ones. Really encourage that. And then you'll find that those people will start to become strong very quickly. And anyone, I would encourage anyone that wants to speak and teach or do a fellowship, you may be going to a fellowship, continue to go to it. But if you want to do yours, start yours. There's no law. It doesn't mean to say you're going away from your fellowship. I stay connected to my minister, and I've got my fellowship, and I've got many people now connected to me. We've been encouraged to pray for the labourers, like Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray for the labourers. And I'm thinking, well, I've got no labourers. And then I was speaking to my minister about it. He said, Lawrence, you've got loads. So look, at this one's connected, that one's connected, that. Oh yeah, I didn't even see it. No, I should have seen that. And then, so now I really pray for those leaders, and I give them the best of what I understand. I ask God to give me the best to give to them, because if they're being successful, God's getting glory, I'm being successful. And I'm serving, because my heart's always been to help people, all along. And if your heart is there, see, we're not after people's money, we're after people's hearts.
Yeah.
God's not after your money, he's after your heart. He's after your heart. That's where we focus. How can I really help this people see what I'm seeing? When you are on the top of the mountain, you've got a bird's eye view of everything. Mm-hmm. Someone that's below, they're not believing you. Well, I can see this, and I can see even the clouds are below me because I'm that high up. Oh yeah, I don't believe that. How can the clouds be below you? Well, they have been. I've been up in California mountains and the clouds have been below, right? But they can't see what you're seeing. It's the same spiritually. When you're walking on that spiritual mountaintop, living from your right-hand side of God like we should be living, then you can really see some more truths than other people have just been blinded to. Because, you know, the wrong doctrine, which may sound like right doctrine, can keep you right where you are and stop you seeing the glory of God. It's like looking at the moon and missing the glory of the stars. Right? You're just focused on that moon because it's bigger than everything else. But there's beauty and there's the galaxies beyond that. So God really wants all of you to understand tonight that you can move powerfully within. If you want to travel the world and minister, if you want to have laborers and connect, if you want to do your own fellowship, you can do it. I would say be led by God. Connect where God shows you to connect. Receive the words gladly that you're being encouraged. Put them to practice so you can prove what's being told you. So for me, when I reconnected with my minister, because I went away from him for a time, so I wasn't agreeing, because I was living from the carnal knowledge of the scriptures and what everybody else told me. But when I listened to the voice of God, and God says, now you go back here. And then God told me, do exactly what this man tells you. And I'm like, But what about if he's wrong? And God says, do exactly what he tells you. And then I knew that was final. And I said, I will do it, God. Then I started to practice the encouragement that was coming to me. My life has changed. My ministry has changed. My finances have changed. Honoring God. That is the basis to see great outreach, I'm telling you. If you go to the scriptures and let God open up your spiritual eyes, you'll see that that is one important thing. God says, when you honor him, not only will he multiply your seed sown, but he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hold on a minute. What's righteous? We're already righteous. So he's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness, of living righteously, of bringing the kingdom of heaven into the earth. He's going to cause all grace. Hold on. We're in the age of grace. He says, I'm going to cause all grace in all areas of your life to abound towards you. And I'm going to cause you to abound to every good works. What works? Going to work? No, the work of God. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to move, if you want, like, this is great, the people that are here is fantastic. But if you want to see this multiply, which God does, are you in agreement with God? Then one of the things he says, you honor him. And it's an honor. It's a privilege. It's very important to do this honoring God. I know people have been encouraged to do it. And the heart is that, okay, will we give 10%? No. You go to God with what you got. You see what you got and you say, God, what would you want me to give? And whatever God puts in your heart, that's how you give. This is how we practice. Father, you have blessed me. I've got this. This is my first fruits, not bills first, not anything else first. This is my first. What would you want me to give? Now, this takes faith and trust. And it's a practice, because when I first begun it, I used to crack myself. Am I actually going to get taken care of here, you know? Mm-hmm. One day, November the 24th, 2019, God says, how much do you want to give to me, Lawrence? Now, that's a question from God. And I've always wanted to be really, to be generous. I am a generous giver. When I got it, and I give me my last penny, right? That's how I am. But I really want to give God. I really want to give to you, because you give me so much. I can never outgive you, but I really want to give. Write it down. So I wrote down the amount, what I wanted to give. 2 days later, God says, how much would you like to receive at the end of the month? And so what I done was, I didn't know what to do about that question. So I just said, well, what do I do? He said, write down what you got left at the end of the month. And it was like £50. Well, I couldn't do anything with £50. £50 don't go nowhere, does it, right? So I wrote down an amount that I wanted at the end of each month. And it was a significant amount. And before God, I lie not. That first month, money come in, so that not only could I honour God with what I wanted to, but I could actually double it. And at the end of the next month, the money that I asked, that significant amount, came in. And it's been the same every month. In fact, a lot more some months. It's never gone below that amount. And I don't use all that money for me. I honour God first. That's the first thing I do. I pay my rent. I pay my council tax. I pay my bills and the things that we got to pay, electric, gas, and that all comes up to something. And I still got money there. And I'm like, okay, God, I want to go for a curry. Take someone with you. Oh, Jason, do you want to come for a curry? I'll pay for it. Oh, we'll all go out. I've been able to pay for my family and the like my birthday meal. I didn't do it this year, but last year we all come out like we did. And God says, pay for it, Lawrence. She went up the wall, it was your birthday. You know, I said, no, God told me to pay for it. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And you know what? I don't lack. I do not lack. And I'm so thankful to God. And it's because I listened and done exactly the encouragement, even when I didn't fully trust that encouragement to begin with. But it was through my practice. It was through my perseverance. It was through my constantly being diligent to listen to the words and to practice it. And praise God for the lockdown, because I was able to practice it in those quiet moments. I was able to hear the voice of God. But you can have this too. All of you can be leaders, because you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. All depends where your desire is. You might not want to be a leader. You might not want to do this. Is that my fault? No. You might not want to be a leader. You might not want to do these things. But whatever God's put in your heart to do it with all your heart. And if you want to see things change, number one, honor God. Number two, speak in tongues much. Speaking in tongues is life changing. So what we began to do to practice, what God showed me to do, was do an hour. Do a focused hour of speaking in tongues solidly. And it's a practice, it's a focus, it's challenging. Now I can do that easy. And then I found that after that 1 hour, then through the day, on and off, I'm speaking in tongues. And I'm doing it more without even realizing I'm doing it now. See what I'm saying? That's building up that inner man, that Christ in you, that spiritual man inside you, or spiritual woman inside you. Right, better say that, haven't I? Right. So, honour God. Speak in tongues much. And let God give you the words. In an environment like this, let God speak. Now, one-on-ones, and maybe a handful of you that want to study a specific thing, nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Yeah, do it. But don't let that become your God. Go to the living God who's speaking to you now. In fact, he's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure all the time. All that, he's never ceases, but is our mind engaged with our spirit? Or is it engaged with the carnal things of this world? All the worries, the fears, the doubts, the different attitudes we have to face from other believers or people in our life. I say to God, if anything don't bless me, I say, Father, this thing that isn't blessing me right now, this will be resolved by the end of the day. Before I close my eyes tonight, you will resolve this for me. This is your problem, not mine. And every time it works, without fail. And my God is so faithful. He's faithful to little old me, who's not so faithful at times. He's faithful. He does not break his faithfulness. He loves us so much. He knows that we're dust here today, gone tomorrow. He knows we're going to make mistakes. But you can move. Do you want to move? Do you really want to do something? Do you want to do a youth fellowship? You can begin it. Does it mean to say you forsake what your mum's encouraging you? She's your leader and teacher. But you can still do your fellowship.
Yeah.
That's what we encourage. Amber, when she come back to me and Danny, they went wild for a few years. They won't mind me saying this. In fact, it's a part of their testimony. They went wild. Like they weren't into God or anything like that, you know, or anything. But when God humbled them and brought them back, after about 6 weeks, I said, Amber, start your own fellowship. Now, there's only a handful of us in Bristol at that time. It seems stupid, but no, I said, start your own fellowship. The first week, it was just her and Danny. After that, this lady that Amber worked with, called Amber, she come.
Helen.
And she's been to India now and everything like that. She just brought loads of people. One labourer, that's all you need. One labourer equal to a million. These are the things.
And you don't go to their fellowship.
No, and when they was doing their fellowships, only on invitation would I go. I would not go and interfere with what they're doing. You know, because I didn't have to. Shall I tell you why? Because I knew they were connecting. I knew they were receiving sound words. I knew they were practicing it. And then I can see the fruit. I can see the results. Then I started to challenge the guys, now you need to start honouring God. Really with your heart, with your substance. Man, and they've been blessed left, right and centre. A wonderful girl, Becky Jancy, she's been to Norway before. You know, God bless her, like she didn't have a lot when she started. I said, you need to honour. And then she began. And then one day I just said to her, Becky, just give what God puts in your heart. Following week, I forgot all about that. Following week, she came with a significant amount and she gave it to us. I said, you can't do that. And she said, well, you told me to go to God and ask him what to give. She said, no, this is what God told me to give and I'm going to give it. From that day, her life hasn't been the same. No. Her finance, she's blessed, she's prospering, she's flourishing, she's strong in the one-on-ones. I encourage her personally as in one-on-one, she won't mind me sharing. You just practice speaking by the Spirit. I said, just get your dictaphone or your phone. Do a 10-minute sharing. Send it to me. If I feel I want to put it on the website, I'll put it on the web. And I do. If you go on my website and go under regular sharings, there's loads of her sharings on there. And she didn't know a lot of the scriptures. In fact, a lot of people get stumped when it comes to the scriptures. And it puts them off. It puts them off doing it. Oh, I've got to do all that studying. Because God didn't assign life to be lived like that. He designed to be lived with him, the living God. But that doesn't mean to say we don't study the scriptures. See what I'm saying? So I'm not discouraging any of that. In fact, actually, there's a balance within it and God will lead you in it. In fact, I love sitting down. I love reading the scriptures. Kim will hear me read it out. I like reading it out loud. And I go through my Esau and I look at sometimes I look at the Greek words. And all that. But I never bring that to a fellowship. And it doesn't matter if you do. If that's what you're inspired to do sometimes, like today, I went to the scriptures just briefly, just to show you the ha and the direction on the day of the age of grace that began, and they continued with that. And don't forget, it fizzled out because of people coming in with their ideas and this and that. It's all there. It's written in there. You can see these examples. But I know, like a personal word to Norway from my heart, from God, is that you guys are going to really take off. Regardless of what goes on, because God is the repairer. Jesus Christ is the repairer of the breach. He's already repaired it. And God can restore. When you start all coming back together and moving as one, with heart and love, God's not only going to double, but he's going to treble the believers, your lifestyles. People want to come here to see your lives. They want to come here and hear your testimonies. And it is word throughout all Norway. You see, from Norway, it's word over the world. From Bristol, it's word over the world. From USA, it's word over the world. Wherever you are reaching out to the world. And God can open up doors for you that no man can shut. But it's up to you. We can either stick to the way that we think that is the right way, or we can be humble and ask God to show us and give us clarity on the things that are being spoken. And the scriptures also verify these things, you know. And the other thing is, you know, we're not under the law of condemnation. I just want to read this one record, and I'll stop. I know I've shared a little bit long, but it's just really, I haven't been here for ages, and I just really feel I got so much to share. And I really want you to know I have a great love for all of you, like how God brought us all together and how I've grown. You guys helped me. You guys have helped me. You know, you've been there, you've supported me. And you've prayed for me. I know you guys are prayers, right? Thank God for you. I have a great love for every one of you. I've got nothing in my mind against anyone, wherever position you are. Because it's the love of God that causes things to grow. It's the heart for one another. You know, if someone was to die in here, we'd break our hearts. Oh, I wish I was more nice to that person. I wish I spent a bit more time to understand their heart. We've lost people along the way, and it breaks your heart. I think I could have done so much more. I could have been such more of a great example. I could have really helped that person, and I didn't. It brings you to reality. Life is very short. Life is very short. Let's live our life unto God, and let's serve one another in love. I'm going to finish off with this, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And it's great, and I love reading this record. I love reading this, right? It says, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Now, this condemnation is what happened and come into the world through the fall of Adam and Eve. They screwed up, and there was condemnation, death, sickness, division, pain, everything. And also, if you mess up yourself, right, there's still no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The risen one, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The rest of it's not in the original text. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law and sin and death. See, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life is where there's freedom, where there's liberty, where there's prosperity, where there's abundance, where there's healing, where there's a constant flow of answers and direction, where there's a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ through his accomplished works, where there's the reality of who you truly are now, not who you was, because when you got born again, you're not that person anymore, even though you still think you are, right? Because that's just your carnal mind. So we come back to the truths and we line our minds up with who we are. So that's the law of the Spirit of life, the freedom, the blessings of God, the power of God, bringing deliverance to people. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, I don't have to earn something with God. I just live and move and have my being in him as he's directing. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. It's already been paid for. Don't matter how much you mess up, it's been paid for. So why do we beat each other up? Oh, they're not doing this right, they're not doing... It's rubbish. It's all carnal. It's carnal. And that's why things don't grow when we're carnal. That is why it doesn't grow. We've got to stop being carnal and start being spiritual, who we really are. that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Oh, look at this, look at that, that's not right, this is not judging, right? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, we've been talking about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. For to be carnally minded is an enemy. It says enmity against God. It's an enemy. The carnal mind is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. What? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? Neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's many Christians that walk carnally, thinking they got it spiritually. But where's the fruit, baby? What's going on? Right? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hands up who the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right. So it says, but you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live after the flesh, after the law, after this. You've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way, all right? But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you a son of God?
Amen.
You a daughter of God?
Yeah.
Right, are you led by God?
Yes.
In other words, God's leading you, the thoughts and ideas he's putting in your heart, or the records of the scripture he brings into your mind for you to do. Are you doing it? Are you following it? Do you resist it? Do you resist the Holy Spirit? I don't think you do. You look at this beautiful place he's blessed you with. You've done exactly what God told you to do. That's being led by the Spirit. When God told you to keep your mouth shut, you kept your mouth shut. When God tells you to open it, you open it. And you don't have fear of anyone. I don't fear anyone. Before I used to be totally frightened. When I come first in Norway, I used to think, oh, better watch what I say here, and better watch what I say there. But you can't be. You can't be. God can get rid of that. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And you guys have got, you've got it. You can do what I do. You can. Because we've got the same spiritual DNA.
Yeah.
It's where your mind is. What you desire in life. Anyway, so it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. This is the spirit of servant. In the Old Testament, they had the spirit of bondage, the spirit of servitude. They were to serve God, but if they messed up, they could lose that spirit. You haven't received that spirit, again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. When we speak in tongues, that we are the children of God. When you speak in tongues, your spirit is saying, look, you are born again from above.
Yeah.
We are born again from above. We was born in the earth once. Mm-hmm. Now we're born again from above, right? Mm-hmm. I'm born again. I've got eternal life. I've got God in Christ in me. And if children, then heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we should maybe be glorified together with him, right? In other words, we're not going to let things overtake us, even though things might try and put us down. We keep moving with God because we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. We live by the rhema words of God and the logic of God, the logos of God. And God is at work and he'll energize whichever one he pleases in you if you're willing to obey. And that's all God wants you to do. Do what he says. Do what I say. Jesus Christ said, you're my friends if you do what I ask you to do. He said that.
And he doesn't mean suffer for Jesus.
Yeah, because we are to triumph. We live at the right hand side of God. I can go on very all night now tonight because there's just very energy. I'm not going to. I will stop now. But this is who we truly are in Christ. My life has changed because I decided, God got me humble. And then I decided to do exactly what God puts me to say, even if it meant no one supported me, come near me, or whatever. But the thing is, God supported me. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus Christ supported me. When I fall, he picks me up. When you fall, he picks you up. God will never leave me or forsake me. He will never leave you or forsake you. He just wants you to have a pure heart. Don't do it to bring glory to yourself. Do it to bring glory to God. Then he will glorify you. He will promote you so that you can continue to promote him. Yeah. Let's keep a humble and meek heart. Let's serve one another in love. Let's not try and show off our intellect and our knowledge, but let the Spirit of God work in you and through you. And if God shows you to pick up your Bible and show your knowledge, then you do that, because that's what God's ordered. God orders our steps. We do what he says.
Yeah.
If he wants us to expound on something, he will show you.
Yeah.
And if he is showing you, then the people will be helped, their faith will be increased, and they will want to stay close to you. They want to connect you. They want to come after you. They know that you're walking with God. When you know someone's walking with God, you're going to chase after them.
Yeah.
That's what the disciples did. They knew God was with him. All right, I'll stop there. God bless you and thank you for hearing me.
God bless you.